Wishing a Merry Christmas to everyone and a Bah Humbug to those of you that have to write checks for all this. Yeah, that seemed to quiet things down a bit. By the way, do you know how much Santa pays for parking his sleigh? Nothing. It's on the house. Hopefully that's not on the recording. Last week, when we had a Christmas message, one of the points that I made is that we don't typically follow the calendar just because it's the calendar. And this Sunday will be proof of that, because not necessarily a Christmas message, although everything really is a Christmas message, that Christ came in the flesh and took on our sin, so really everything is a Christmas message. But before we go any further, let me open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. I thank you that we can trust in your faithfulness. I thank you that you love us more than we can understand. Your faithfulness is greater than we can understand. Your desire to feed us, to lead us, to work in us and through us and for us, it's greater than what we can understand. And Father, I thank you that I can trust that you want to feed your sheep. And I can trust that I've been looking to you and that you will bless your word, not my words, but your words. And so we ask that you would do according to your heart's good pleasure and open our eyes to see the Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In preparation for the message, I'm reminded of when Jesus was feeding the 5,000. I don't recall exactly which gospel story gives this exact point. But at one point it says that the disciples were continuing to come to Jesus, and he would give them bread, and then they would go and give it out to the 5,000. And I take a lot of encouragement in that, because the need was greater than the capacity of the disciples. They knew that they didn't have what it takes. And I feel the same way. And they also, in the only way that it worked was they came to Jesus, and Jesus broke the bread and the fish and handed it to them. And then they went and they gave it all out. And then when they were empty, they went back and they got more. And then they went and gave it all out. And so I am trusting that I'm receiving, and I'm trusting that he's blessing as I'm handing out. And I just got this little bit here in my hands, and it doesn't seem like all that much. But I trust that it's his blessing on his words. And we see from the story that there were 12 baskets left over, so there's more than enough. I want to start by reading the text for this morning, and it's Mark chapter 1, and it's at the end of chapter 1. Now, the Gospel of Mark is very enjoyable to read. It suits my personality because it's very quick. The word immediately is over and over, and Mark just gets right to the point. It just jumps right in and starts running. And at the end of chapter 1, picking up at verse 40, we read, "And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, 'If you're willing, you can make me clean.' Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him, and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around, to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere." Now, it's an amazing story. There is so much in it, and the more I began looking at it and and teasing it out and pulling it out. It just seemed to keep on going and going and going. The Lord has seemed to give us two other views of this same story. So it's recorded in three of the four Gospels. It's in Matthew 8, it's in Mark 1 that we just looked at. It's also in Luke 5. And just on the surface, just as a first glance at this, it is tremendously encouraging because a leper came to Jesus. So this is a bad guy coming to the good guy. Okay, real simple. The bad guy comes to the good guy and he says, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. And Jesus immediately replies, I am willing. Be cleansed. And just as sure as the command, let there be light, and there was light, just as sure was this command, be cleansed, and he was cleansed. Mark tells us the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Now, there's other places where the miracle took place slower or later or at a distance, but this was immediate right here, right now. And that is an amazing thing. In Luke's account of this, Luke being a doctor, he includes the fact that this man was full of leprosy. It wasn't just a little problem. This was a very big problem. He was completely full of leprosy. And so in this situation, Jesus said, I am willing, and he was cleansed. And, you know, that's almost enough to just stop right there and say, that's it. That's your encouragement for the day. Come to Jesus. He's willing. Be cleansed. He's willing, he's able, he does it, it's finished. But let's look a little deeper at the story. You know, the leper humbled himself before he came to the Lord Jesus. In Matthew, it says he bowed down before him. In Mark, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him. Luke says he fell on his face and implored him. And I'm reminded of the verse in James 4:7, that says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. There's a lot of people that will quote the last part of that verse and say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I'm going to tell you that if you don't do the first part, it will not work. The first part of the verse is submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that's true because of actually the verse that precedes that, James 4 verse 6. It says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So James makes that point. Peter also makes the exact same point. And when they say that, God is opposed to the proud, he gives grace to the humble, both of them are referring back to Psalm 138, verse 6. And so the actual text they're talking about says, for though the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. And again, that's instructive. He knows the haughty. It's not that he doesn't know them or that he's disconnected or unaware. It's just that he knows them from afar. And so they're away. But those who are lowly, those who have humbled themselves, yeah, he's with them. He regards the lowly. And so this man, he's a leper, and he humbles himself before the Lord, and he seeks to be set free. Problem is, he's a leper. And the fact that in Scripture, God uses leprosy as an illustration of sin, that's something that we've talked about often here. But just to remind your heart and mind, some of the reasons why leprosy is such a great illustration, as opposed to, say, blindness or being lame or deaf, some of the reasons that God chooses to use leprosy as an illustration of sin is those other maladies are medical problems. And you see in Scripture, there's no, when it comes to leprosy, the person is instructed to go to the priest. That's a spiritual thing. It doesn't say go to the doctor. And I'm not saying anything against doctors. I'm just saying that in Scripture, we see there's medical issues. And then we see that this leprosy thing, it's a spiritual issue. It says go to the priest. Leviticus 13 and 14, I went through those over and over and over and over trying to decipher. There are so many ins and outs involved in what the priest had to do to determine whether someone was clean or unclean. And it wasn't, they weren't determining, are you sick or well? They weren't determining, did you have a disease or not? What they were determining was whether you were clean or unclean. It's a different class. It's a different category than, do you have an illness? And again, some of the reasons why God uses leprosy as an illustration of sin is leprosy is under the surface. And it's systemic. Once it's in your system, eventually it will manifest and you'll begin to lose fingers, toes. I looked at some pictures and I thought about putting them on the screen, but it's pretty ugly. Nose, lips, even your eyes can be affected. The larynx or your voice box, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but your voice can be affected by this. Eventually, you rot to death. And if that's not just a clear picture of sin, you know, sin, a lot of sin begins so very small. Just this little temptation, just this little indiscretion. Let me just cross the line here. It's not that big a deal. But then it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And the thing is, you know, today we call leprosy Hansen's disease, and even today there's no cure. They can treat symptoms a little bit better, but this again is the progressive nature of sin. I'm sure you're familiar with the statement a lot of preachers use: sin will always take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. And eventually, with leprosy, it becomes apparent to everyone that you're consumed by it. And this is the progressive nature of sin. You can't overcome it. There's no cure. You know, in the Old Testament, the leper, there was a lot of commands and restrictions. For example, if a person was unclean because they had leprosy, they'd been to the priest, and the priest went through all the ordeal that they had to go through, and they just said, yes, you're unclean. Then there was things that this person had to do. For example, they had to wear tattered clothing. Now, today that's a fashion symbol among some people, but in this day, not a fashion symbol. They had to, on purpose, wear tattered clothing. They had to, their hair would fall out anyway from their eyebrows and mustache and so on, but they would have to cover their upper lip. And anytime somebody came near, they would have to holler out, unclean, unclean. They had to let people know, don't come near me, I'm bad news. What a blessing it would be if sin would do that today. But you know, Satan is the father of lies. And Jesus said that when he lies, he's speaking his native language. Deception is his deal. And that's why you see an ad for beer and you decided, oh, well, if I drink that beer, I'll obviously look attractive. I'll have attractive people around me. I'll be the life of the party. But it never advertises itself as a car wreck where you end up paraplegic, or where some little child tragically dies. It doesn't go out there and say, you know, dismemberment and pain and suffering. That's not how it advertises itself. It doesn't say unclean, unclean. It would be really a good thing if sin would just go out there and say to everybody, I'm unclean, stay away from me. But the deceiver that he is, he does such a great job of making it look attractive. All right, so we see leprosy pictures sin, and that it's something within the person that becomes apparent on the outside, and it brings about separation from your fellow man and from God. And so this is the deal with the lepers. They could not, they couldn't stay at home. They couldn't stay in their town. They had to be separate. They had to move out of town. You've heard of a leper colony, and that would be a group of lepers. They can live amongst themselves, but they can't live with the people. And regarding sin, Jesus makes this statement in Mark 7, verse 20, and he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. So you see how leprosy is so much like this picture. It's the stuff that's on the inside, and when it comes to the outside, that person is now defiled. They're unclean, and they're separated. They can't go to the temple, go to the synagogue. They can't be with their family. This kind of a problem, it can't be fixed by a doctor or a psychiatrist. There's no cure. In fact, whatever it touches becomes sinful. And so going back into the story, you might think, as you reflect on the story, you might think it starts with the leper coming to Jesus and saying, if you can cleanse me. And this is where we need to be. That's a great place to start. But really, from the text, we see that it's actually, in all three accounts prove this, Jesus was on the move. Matthew 8:1, Jesus came down the mountain, and then the leper comes to him. In Mark 1, verse 39, Jesus went into the synagogues throughout all Galilee, and then this is where the man comes. Luke 5:12, while he was in one of the cities, that's when this leper saw him, came to him, and was seeking to be cleansed. And so the first point I want to make or underscore is that Jesus came near. And if you haven't already come to this, you need to know everything starts with God, not just because he's the one who said, let there be light, and everything really begins with him. But when folks say, and I don't fault them at all, that they found the Lord, they did find the Lord, but it's because he initiated. It's because by his Holy Spirit, he drew them into relationship. And it's because by his Spirit, he opened their eyes to see him. And so they see him and they go, I once was blind and now I see and I found the Lord. Eventually, they're going to learn the same point, that the only way it happened is because Jesus came near. It's because God initiated. And the second point, we've covered this already, is the fact that the leper humbled himself. And he fell on his knees. He fell on his face. He humbles himself before God. And the third point, again, we've made this already, is the fact that Jesus is willing. There's a lot of times in praying for someone's healing that within my own self, you know, I've heard all the people say, well, if you don't pray in faith, don't expect God to heal. And I hear them, and that's your thing. My thing is, I know that God can. There is no question. There's no question God can. He made everything that exists. There's no question, can he? The question is, will he? And this is why in regard to sin, when people decide to call their sin a disease, like I have alcoholism, you're not on good ground. You would be in a lot better place to say, I'm a sinner and I choose alcoholism. That's my sin that I'm doing, because 1 John 1:9 says he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you call it sin and you repent of your sin, he has promised to forgive. He has promised to cleanse. But if you're going to call it a disease and ask for healing, I'm not so sure. Now, again, in all of these passages and in many places in the Gospels, there's this Greek word, I've been working on this, splagnizomai. You can take that home, share it with your friends, you'll sound very spiritual. And if your faith doesn't get you into heaven, saying splagnizomai will not either. But splagnizomai, it's compassion, it's mercy, it's the feeling, and it's actually like from the guts. Like we say, it's from the bottom of your heart, but the Greek term is really from your guts. When the leper fell before the Lord, it says that he had compassion on him. It was from deep within. That too is extremely encouraging. I like compassion. I like mercy. But stronger than that, I like a promise. 1 John 1:9, he promises, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. And so don't call your problem a disease. It's a sin. Call it a sin and repent. Go to him. So he's willing. And notice the fact that the removal of the leprosy was immediate. And so this kind of looks like salvation. You know, it looks like someone who is riddled with sin comes to the Lord, bows before him, says, if you will cleanse me, I'm willing. And he does that. God draws near. The sinner sees him. Sinner falls on his knees. He asks if God is willing to cleanse him. He is willing. He cleanses him. And the sinner goes away rejoicing. And that's a tremendous thing. And that is how this happens. And there's a lot of times that people give testimony that, man, when I got saved, I went nuts. I was very difficult to be around because I was going to share the gospel no matter what. And I didn't really know what I was talking about. Now, that's not my testimony. At age 6, I didn't know what I was talking about, but I didn't have that excitement either. But notice that when Jesus cleansed this man, the Bible tells us very clearly that he touched him. Now, this is radical. It's pretty radical that the leper came that close to Jesus. This leper, this man who is full of leprosy, had been in this condition for a while, and he knew full well, you don't get close, you got to tell people, I'm unclean. And yet he comes close to the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus comes even closer. I like close. I love the song, He Touched Me. But there's an interesting point here. God tells Moses this in Numbers chapter 5, the first three verses. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, command the sons of Israel that they send away from the camp every leper and everyone having a discharge and everyone who is unclean because of a dead person. You shall send away both male and female. You shall send them outside the camp so they will not defile their camp where I dwell in their midst. Now, that's interesting. It says leper, and we're already talking about clean, unclean. The leper is unclean. He has to be outside the camp because if he's in the camp, he's going to defile the camp. But did you notice? Did you notice the other two people on the list? If there's someone who's got a discharge, if there's someone who is unclean because of a dead person, and calling on your memory of the Gospels, there was a woman with a discharge of blood. And in her faith, she reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. He was not defiled. He was not cast out. She was cleansed. That's right here in this list. And you remember the 12-year-old girl who was dead. He took her by the hand and raised her up. You remember the widow of Nain. Her son is in a coffin and passing by. Jesus touches the coffin. He wasn't unclean. And that boy wasn't dead anymore. He was raised back to life. Now, this is an amazing thing because in this story, this leper comes, and this is like, see, let me back up a step. If a person, and this is in the Levitical law, if a person has a discharge, they are unclean until after the discharge is done, and then a little period of time and a little cleansing, and then they're clean. So it's temporary. Same thing if you touched a corpse. You're unclean for a period of time. And then you go through a ritual and you're clean. But for the leper, you're always unclean. There's no cure. There's no thing that you can do that now you're clean. You are perpetually unclean Because that's the way sin is. As long as you're in this body, you got sin. And yet, in this situation here, where these were to be outside the camp, Jesus touched each one of these. He touched the woman with the discharge of blood. She touched the hem of his garment. And she's cleansed. The dead people are raised. And Jesus is not defiled. And when Jesus touched the leper, this is like the max. Okay? A leper is never clean. And he touched the leper. And from that point, he was never unclean. And to further sew this up, I'm getting ahead in my notes here, but, you know, we talk about the exchanged life and the fact that that's different than trying to live a successful Christian life. The successful Christian life is, I'm really trying to get better. I got this problem and I got that problem and I'm really trying. This problem pops up and I'm like, okay, I got to think about this, or I got to pray that, or I got to try and do better. And the exchanged life is recognizing that I can't do better. I cannot improve my flesh. I can't make Paul Greenlee a better person, a good enough person. And the challenge with saying this is, isn't that the goal? I mean, Kathy, isn't that the goal? don't we want me to be a better person? Yeah, we want to see better actions, hear better things, not hear some things. We want that better thing. But the question is it me improving me, or is it me allowing the Lord Jesus to give the response? Is it me allowing the Lord Jesus to say, oh, I want to go over here and serve this person? Now, my flesh might say, yeah, but I don't. Well, okay, so who's in charge now? Is it me? We're staying here. Or is it me? We're going to go serve. And in this exchanged life, it is me saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's me saying, I'm going to let go of my interest, my desire, my plan. I'm going to allow the Lord Jesus to do what it is that he wants to do. And so there's this exchange. And in the picture in this story, there is a fantastic exchange because, first of all, it's amazing that the sinner, the leper, comes to God and says, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. And he says, I'm willing. I'll cleanse you. Knowing full well, he's about to tell the sinner, don't tell anyone. And the first person he sees, he's going to tell. And the second person, and the third person, the fifth, and the tenth. And it's going to be so big that he can't even go into town publicly because this... He's breaking a command I just gave him directly, personally. Not a general command, not the Ten Commandments. I'm telling you, say nothing to anyone, go to the priests. Hey, I got to tell you what Jesus did. And God still did it. He cleansed him from sin, and he's breaking God's law. And we look at him and we go, man, that's crazy. Just look in the mirror. Now, I don't mean to be, you know, pointing on you. I can very clearly say this on me. In fact, we got a minute. We're close to the last page here. A story from this past week. I'm on my way to work and driving in my truck, and I'm praying like a good Christian, like an elder at Family Ministries, and praying for my coworkers. Praying for the Lord's ministry through me, that people will be able to see him through me, hear him through, feel his love through me. Great prayer. Oh, you ought to write it down and repeat it. And this dude cuts me off. I went into full flesh. At first I was angry and I let him go, and then I said, I'm going to chase him. That's the only way they learn. And as I'm mashing the pedal, I'm thinking, you can let this go. You just prayed. Yeah, whatever. And I get right up on his tail. I'm sure he was repentant. But I'll tell you, you know, it's humorous, but it really messed me up for quite a while because my response to this is, you've got to be kidding me. I know. And I even know how. I know how to walk in the Spirit. I know how to let go and let the Lord. And I was just praying that that's what I wanted. And I was so frustrated that you've got to be kidding me. And, you know, the accuser of the brethren, he's very willing to help in situations like these. And he's saying, you know what, this Christianity, it doesn't work. This exchange life, I mean, you know all the things and look at you. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And yet, come back to this text. Was he willing to cleanse me? Is he willing to use me? Is it understandable? No. But it's amazing. And getting back to this exchange life, this picture is so great because at the beginning of the story, this person, this leper, is in the unpopulated areas. He's out in the leper colony. He can't be in town. He can't be around people. He's out in the remote place. He comes and calls on Jesus, and Jesus cleanses him. And now he's in town. He's accepted in the Beloved. And where is the Lord Jesus? And now the Lord Jesus is out in the unpopulated areas. Now, there's logistical reasons for that, and it's, you know, it's quite obvious. This guy ran his mouth so much, and now everybody wants to be touched by the Lord Jesus. I think that's a great thing. It was wrong, but that this is kind of the goal. You know, he touches my life, and then I tell other people, and he touches their lives. That's kind of the goal. But in the imagery here, there is this exchange where he's cleansed, and now the believer is accepted. The leper, the believer, is now accepted in the Beloved, and the Lord Jesus is outside the camp. We've quoted this verse often, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And this, again, this is just an amazing thing that when the Lord Jesus touched that leper, whatever uncleanness is absorbed into him. And if you think about the fact that the Lord Jesus in that present, in that condition right then, he is God in the flesh. He is completely 100% man. He is just as susceptible to sin and temptation as anyone. And for his 33 and a half years, he never committed one sin in word, thought, deed, in omission or commission, none at all. And in a way, we're kind of very carefully watching because if he makes it, if he gets all the way to the cross without one sin, then he can atone for our sin. And so he's kind of in this precarious position. Oh, but he's God in the flesh. Yeah, but he's completely in the flesh and he's setting aside his divinity. Just like the life that you and I, we have to completely set aside our sin nature and allow him to live out his divine life. But in this condition, here he is touching a sinful, a leper, but the uncleanness does not come on him. Now, the exchange happens. The leper is accepted in the Beloved. We have fellowship one with another. Let me read from Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verses 11 through 14. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Let me reread that. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin, those bodies are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. And so the writer of Hebrews draws this picture for us that the animals that were sacrificed as a temporary covering for the sin, their bodies were burned outside the camp. The Lord Jesus, when he was crucified on the cross, was crucified outside of Jerusalem. And then he says, so let's go to him outside the camp. And in our story, we read that that he no longer could be, he couldn't enter a city publicly, but he stayed out in the unpopulated areas. Now that's not word for word, that's not identical, but you get this concept that here's the in crowd and here's the people in the city, and Jesus is out here in the unpopulated areas. And I mention that because, and this is the last point here, I've been praying for a while for a word from the Lord for family ministries, for like a direction. Where would he have us go? What would he have us do? And I don't know that, well, anyway, just seeking the Lord for direction. And in connection with that, a lot of you have heard me talk about the fact that, you know, if things continue as they are, numbers keep getting smaller and smaller, eventually somebody needs to turn the lights off, lock the door, and hand the key to somebody else. And that's okay. God doesn't have to maintain this assembly at this location forever. He will maintain his assembly, and his body will meet, and he will minister to them. But it doesn't have to be here. But even in this condition where we're such a small crowd, I would ask the simple question, is the Lord here? Does he minister? And see, in this text, there's the city, and there's the leper who's been cleansed, and here's all these people that he's going to, and he's going to minister to, but he's staying out in unpopulated areas. And the word tells us in each of the accounts that the people are coming to him from everywhere. One translation says, comes from every quarter. And so even though he's out here in the remote place, if you seek, you'll find. And the Lord, he is ministering. So the fact that the text tells us that people were coming from every quarter, that means that wherever he was ministering. And so he's out in some unpopulated area. He's out in some podunk, Bridgeville, Delaware. And where he is, he ministers. And those who seek him will come to him from wherever. And so I'm not particularly worried about where is it that we need to go, what is it that we need to do, what ministry do we need to begin. I'm willing and open, and if he makes a direction very clear, we'll go there. But I think the admonition is pretty simple. Just continue to come to him. Just like the leper in the story, we got a problem. I mean, everybody's got problems. Continue to come to him. He's willing. He's willing to cleanse. If you, I had a hard time not reading all of Hebrews this morning as text. But if you read through that, and it's just so full. I looked at 10. There's so many chapters in there that deal directly with this. So continue to come to the Lord. Continue to seek to know him, and he will minister to those who come to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for the compassion that you had for the leper, the deep feelings of mercy that you have for us. We thank you so much that you are willing to cleanse, that you've cleansed once and for all, and that you're in the process of sanctifying us and making us pure and holy as your people. We thank you that even in this remote, unpopulated place, that you're here and you're ministering. And we praise you for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.